Good morning, everybody. And welcome to the Sunday Morning Sunday School Discussion Group.
Thank you.
We're so glad you're all here in body or online. So I think last week we tried to get through the end of Romans chapter 12, and I think we started around 12:9, and we went all the way to 12:21. At least we read through to that, but we jumped right down to, therefore, if thine enemy hunger. That was 12:20, because I said that thing about heaping coals of fire on his head. So we had a discussion pretty much about that. So pretty much we have to go back and kind of touch on like 14 through 19 and see if there's anything that interests anybody in any of those. Okay, so I'll read it through in the King James.
Where are we at now?
Romans chapter 12, and we're toward the end of the chapter around verse 14 or 15, and we're going to go all the way to the end, okay? Hopefully. So let's just say this. Let's just read this. Yeah. I'm going to start with 14. And it says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Well, we can talk about that for about one eon. You know? Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. That one's not hard for me. As long as I like you. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's a good one for discussion. And then 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And I think that's another good one. Does anybody have one of those verses you would like to discuss? Okay, Oscar.
Verse 14. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Mm-hmm. Now, Scripture says that we're kings and priests unto God, you know, in various places in Scripture. And if we're kings and priests unto God, the criteria that we have to look at there is the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek in the Old Testament was a king priest, you know, and he's the only king priest that's ever mentioned in the Old Testament. We know Jesus was after the order of the rank of Melchizedek, Scripture tells us. And I believe that really Melchizedek was a type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, is what it really mounted out to. And all that you see that Melchizedek did was he came forward and he blessed Abraham, you know, and Abraham paid tithes in Melchizedek. So a lot of people think tithing is of the law. Well, it's really not. That was before the law was ever instituted. So, you know, tithing started in that era there. But anyway, all he did was he blessed. He was a type of that was to bless. And when he tells us here, bless them which persecute you, we're to be a people of blessing, to bless people, not to curse them, we really shouldn't really say bad things about them and stuff. We should try to only speak positive things toward them. Now, we might not agree with what they're doing, and that's fine to not agree with that. But we need to make sure we're not cursing them and that we're blessing them, you know. And, you know, I think when we come to that realization that Jesus was of that rank and of that order, and we were part of the body of Christ, so we're to be a people of blessing, to bless people. So that's pretty straightforward right there. We're just telling you bless and curse not, you know. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves cursing people rather than blessing them.
And, even when you drive on the way down here. So game up, cut in front, over here, I slow down, cut over. What did I say? Stupid, in and out. And right now, right then when I said it, and then the Holy Spirit quit, right? I said, no. I didn't say anything to him, but I know I felt it in my heart, and I was saying with him.
God, I'm sorry.
Yes, Lord, forgive me for that.
Yeah, we all do that sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus never cursed anybody.
No, he didn't.
No, I'm the one they're cursing. I go, my bad.
Well, I think all of us sometimes it hits you the wrong way and you find yourself saying something.
And she's
but the neat
said,
thing is the Holy Spirit corrects
you. Oh,
like
yeah.
You
and then I said, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I say, it's, come on, man. That's what I say.
That sounds familiar.
I say
you, the thing that bothers you with that stuff in the traffic is always the fact that you know that 90% of the time those people that do all that crazy stuff and cut in and out on you and do all that weird stuff, they go on down the road and they probably cause accidents and don't get involved in them half the time because they're down the road.
Yeah.
And you know, have you ever driven down the road and somebody will just fly by you, don't be going so fast, and you think, man, I hope they get where they're going, you know. And you'll pull up to a stoplight on down the road a couple miles and you're sitting right next to them. They didn't get there no quicker than you did. What I mean.
Nowadays you can't like somebody cuts you off or something like that, you can't say anything.
They might shoot you.
They got that road rage.
Well, yeah, and people are all wound up. They are. You're
see,
right.
When I was living in California, they had road rage going there.
They're doing it here all the time, everywhere.
Well, you know.
I hope they get where they're going. I hope they get picked up. Yeah. They were going real fast.
Well, I usually say, where's a policeman when you need him? That's what usually goes in my mind. Where's a policeman
wrong.
When you need him? Don't hit me for going 5 miles
we're
over
still
speed limit.
We're still not blessing them.
You know, yeah.
It's funny, you see all these states down the road,
yeah.
And people know where they're at, so they slow up.
Yeah.
And once they get down the road,
right.
And you know, we see everything, because we come every week, all that distance, everything.
You get people come out off the ramp, speed up coming off the ramp, and when they get in front of it, they slow up.
And that got the head right away. I said, dear Lord.
That's why I say, come on, man.
We got to bless the Lord. We should be there.
Yeah, we'd be off the subject.
Yes, Lord, but we wanting just to bless people.
Yeah. Well, we want to be a people of blessing. You know?
Yes,
we're called,
yes, we do.
We're called to an order of blessing,
I find that easy. I find that to be kind of the same thing as giving life rather than judging.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But.
Well, look at the Beatitudes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of those have to do with the blessings, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, you know. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And you know, if we're cursing instead of blessing, then what are we doing? We're not being a peacemaker, we're being an agitator, you know. And we find ourselves in that sometimes, you know, and we all do. Once in a while you find yourself getting agitated over something and saying something, and then usually right after that, like you say, you get checked.
Yes,
sure. Or they'll check you and you think, I shouldn't have said that.
But you don't know what's going on in people's minds when they're
stressed.
They might have, stresses.
Right. You never
we
know.
We don't.
Yeah. But we are called after the order of Melchizedek, our king and priest unto God.
He also brought the bread and wine, right?
He brought the bread and wine,
that
and he blessed
exactly,
Abraham.
A forerunner of Jesus.
Yeah,
sure.
And what is that a type of? The bread was, he said, take this and eat, you know, in communities. That take, this is my body, it's broken for you. And this is my blood, it's shed for you, which is the life. So we're to give life and to want to pull people into the body of Christ, not push them away from the body of Christ. You know?
To be ambassadors, right?
That's right. Ambassadors. That's right. My sermon will kind of go along the slant in order. You know. I mean, but yeah, it's when we realize, I mean, a lot of times, you know, we read a lot of the deep truths about Melchizedek and all that kind of stuff, and that we're called of that order of Melchizedek, but yet a lot of times we fall short of that order, you know, but that's the good thing about the grace of God. We ask and ask it. When we find ourselves falling short, we just need to ask the Lord to forgive us and get up and go on, you know. And next time, instead of getting real upset, say, Lord, bless that person there, you know. I love what the people down south say, but they don't always mean it when they say it. Bless your heart. Sometimes you feel like, is there a knife involved in here somewhere? But now, people down south are always say, I love to hear them, just bless your heart. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad when they say that. But,
I was looking at verse 19 that said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. I think this kind of goes along in this whole thing in here. It's so full of good information, but it's information, I see it, and you know I'm big on this, I see it as my loving Father giving me great advice and showing me how to live my life, even though it's not by, I mean, salvation is by grace, period, you know, and if you mess up, you mess up. But this is our Heavenly Father saying, you know, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And that kind of threw me for a loop. Because it says, give place to wrath. But doesn't it also say, give not place to the devil? So, that kind of, I was thinking about that.
Let's see what that actually means there when it says that.
Mm-hmm.
That's verse 19, let's see. Okay, verse 19.
Give place.
This thing makes you reverse it every time anymore when you get in here.
The definition, it's topos, right?
Oscar? Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Apparently a primary word, a spot, generally a spot in space, but limited by occupancy.
So they're saying give space to it. Don't, in other words, don't give into it.
Put it off into
a...
And the Amplified said, but leave way open for God's wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine and I will repay, requite, says the Lord. But see, of course, his vengeance and wrath is not like ours.
Yeah. And we'll see, the thing about this is when he's saying give space, and then they're going ahead and say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, like you said there.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're saying, you back off.
Yeah.
You've got space to do what he's going to do. That's what it's really telling you.
Yeah.
You back off and let me take care of it, you know. And I mean, you know, put it in simple terms, and a lot of times, how many times when we say, well, I'm going to take care of that situation, and boy, we really screw it up when we do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times if we'd have just backed off and looked at it even from a different perspective, sometimes we wouldn't have done what we did, you know, and made it worse, because a lot of times we make it way worse. But, you know, And look at the examples of the vengeance of the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at what happened with the woman in the act of adultery. You know, Jesus basically did not judge her. Mm-hmm. He let the people judge themselves because they were going to judge her. And then what happened? They all backed off, you know, when he said, humongous without sin cast the first stone.
And she received mercy.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that's beautiful about God's judgment and even his wrath. His wrath is a restorative thing, mm-hmm. not something to destroy like we tend to think a lot of times.
Interesting.
It's to bring restoration.
And doesn't it also say that as the children of God, we shall judge the earth.
Right.
But it'll be that righteous judgment.
Righteous judgment.
Of Christ.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. It'll be we as the body of Christ.
Right.
When we are out there six shooting by ourselves, we have not yet attained what he wants us to attain, is that knowledge of our oneness.
The thing about it is, too, is when we are elevated into a place of actually judging the world, you know what I mean? I mean, we have to judge it with the mind of Christ, not with our natural mm-hmm. mind. Our natural mind will condemn them. Our natural mind, because the natural mind is the carnal mind, and it's an enmity against God. It doesn't know the things of God, don't want to know the things of God, you know. And have you ever found out, seen times when maybe you got really, really angry, and maybe even your spouse or somebody would say to you, well, you know, you really got a bad attitude there or something. You get this worse because you say, I don't know.
I'm justified.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. And the thing about it is that's really when the mind of Christ would yield to the lesser, you know, than to the more, you know what I mean? But
I've got a question to ask, yeah. and I don't want to get off too much, but there is a question in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to people who terribly abuse children, when it comes to people who are serial killers,
mm-hmm.
is there a judgment?
Well,
and I mean, I know that,
yeah,
and it will God judge them, and yet will they be saved?
Yeah,
and that to me is something I deal with every day, and it really bugs me.
Well, I'll put it to you like this, the only way I can explain it. I mean, if anybody else is ready to
yeah.
jump in there anyway, time one. It's sort of like this. It's like that story I've told about the rapist, the person who was
yeah.
raping
yeah.
women
yeah.
and killing them.
Yeah.
And he got this woman, and when she was in the car with him, basically, you know, he was taking her off someplace and going to rape her and kill her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that's what he was going to do. And she felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, don't act like you're afraid of him.
Yeah.
And she started quoting scriptures to him and witnessing to him. And finally he said to her, well, what do you think I should do? And she said, I think you should pull over and let me go and go on your way. You know, and he did. And you go home or something. And anyway, it ended up where when she got out of the car, I mean, she was still pretty shaken, but when she got out of the car, she called the police and told him where he was going to be. He was going to the bus station. I believe she dropped him off at the bus station, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or they stopped at the bus station and she took her car. He didn't keep her car, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so they catch him and they try him, and he's tried for murder. He's on death row, and they're going to execute him. I mean, you know, he's killed a lot of women and raped them and stuff. And the warden called that woman and asked her, he said, I don't normally do this to victims
yeah.
who, when people are on death row, she says, he wants to talk with you. And he says, he's had a really huge impact on the guards up here and on a lot of people's lives up here. And she said, first I thought, no, I'm not gonna do that. And he said, like the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, you need to go up there. And she went. And he told her when she got up there, he told her, he says, I'm going to tell you something I haven't told anybody before. Right before you picked me up, I heard a voice speak to me and say, I'm going to speak to you one more time, and you better listen. Okay? And he said, when you started talking to me about the Lord, he said, I knew I'd better listen. And see, we don't know what has went on with people to get them into that state,
yes.
How bad they've been mistreated, what, we have no idea. And maybe if they'd have been shown love and compassion and forgiveness somewhere in their life, that stuff might not have happened. You know what I mean? It's possible it could have been turned around. I mean, you know, and that doesn't excuse what they did, you know, but, you know, I'll give you that another example, and I've shared this one before, in the book of Josephus, you know, that about story about Manahem, you know, and sometime I'll give you guys a copy of that. I actually pulled it out, and you can read it for yourself. But in that story about Manahem, when Roy Ralph said something to me in the church service about that, and I don't even think I was even sitting on the platform at that time, you know, it was a lot of years ago. And for some reason, he said, you know, in the book of Acts, it mentions this man named Manahem, and he lived in Herod's court,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he said, I don't know who this guy was, because there isn't anything about him. And he said, Oscar, check into it. And I thought, me check into it? You're the Bible guy, not me. You run the Bible college. You know, that was my thoughts. I was like, you're the Bible college guy, not me. You know, and I went home, and Minnie was living with us back then. That's how many years ago. It was a lot of years ago, but she's been gone for a long time. And I'm sitting down in the basement, you know, because I had a TV room down there, and my office was in there. And I'm sitting down there, and I felt like the Holy Spirit said, check into it. And I said, okay, Lord. I had no idea even what to do. And I went in, and I started getting out any reference books that I had, you know, like dictionary type things and stuff like that. And I looked up the name Manahem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a reference in one of those books to the book of Josephus, a certain section in the book of Josephus. And I had a book of Josephus, which I had bought years earlier, and I don't know why. I heard some preacher or something mention it or something, and I had bought a book of Josephus, and I had never cracked it. It was just sitting on the shelf. And that's the way the Lord does with me sometimes. That's how sometimes I find out things that other people say, how in the world did you find that out? You know, well, the Lord inspired me to buy that book, you know, even though it was... It probably sat on there for a couple of years, you know, before I ever cracked it. And I looked up that section, and it was the story of Herod. It told about Herod when he was a boy, that he was walking down the street, and there was this, I think it was an SE or something like one of them sects of the Jews, and they said he had a prophetic ministry, you know, prophetic time ministry, and said, he walked up and slapped this young guy on the back, basically, and said, oh, hail, King of the Jews. And the guy looked up at him and said, I'm just a normal person. I'm not, you know, I'm just like you. And it was Herod. Well, Herod was appointed by Caesar to be the patriarch over Israel or whatever, you know, Jerusalem and all that stuff. But anyway, you know, he wasn't a royal, he wasn't even a Jew. Herod wasn't even a Jew, you know. Anyway, so it said in there that he slapped him on the back, and he said, oh, hail, King of the Jews. And he said, I'm just normal, just like you. And then he said, oh, but you won't be. You know, you're going to be, you know, in other words. And he said, but when you... And I'm paraphrasing here because I don't remember the exact words, but he said, when you come into the kingdom, he said, see that you do rightly and justly, but I know that you won't.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, God talks, we don't know what God said to the people out there,
mm-hmm.
what kind of encounters they've had with God,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, you know what I mean. But he said, I know that you won't. And then he, if you go on and read on down through there, he mm-hmm. says, later on, when he became king, you know, basically king, you know, appointed king,
mm-hmm.
that he called Manahem in, mm-hmm. and he wanted to ask him, you know, like, how long will my reign be, and all these different questions. And he gave him a couple of answers, but he wouldn't answer him on a lot of things. I'm sure he didn't know the answer unless God told him. But it was kind of interesting. And then here, you know, this guy's name shows up in the book of Acts as being part of the court. Well, I'm sure that he probably wanted him or his lineage or whatever it was to be part of the court once he told him he was going to be king and he was made king, you know. But even with that, he had told him, he said, and this is the Herod that killed all the babies. There was a bunch of different Herods. There wasn't just one. There was a bunch of them. Mm-hmm. But this is the one that killed all the babies, you know. And
trying to get Jesus.
Yeah. And you know, and he was, and in the book of Josephus, he was real interested in how long his reign would be and all this kind of stuff, you know.
Is he the same one that came out and people praised him? Who was it that stood up, came out, and the sun shone, and he was all arrayed, and the people as much as worshipped him?
Yeah.
Was that him, or?
I'm not sure if that was him or one of his relatives. I'm not real sure about that. I had to check into that.
And right then, because he took the praise,
took the glory,
God struck him, and he was dead, eaten with worms. Right?
Yeah. Sometime I'll pull that back up. I've got it. I actually have it in my computer because I have the Book of Josephus and my Bible programs too. But I'll pull that up and run it off and let you guys look at it sometimes. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. I'm not telling you exactly what it said, but that's pretty much what it was.
Well, one thing when she was talking about looking at the ones that's doing all this evil and what they've done, and when she was saying it was coming to me, when God had shown me one time, he said, what you give yourself to, you become.
Yeah.
And that's not just us as we give ourselves to God, how we become more like him. But people are not born evil, you know, unless God has a certain purpose for, you know, like with Judas, Judas, you know what God did, but he was born to do that.
Yeah.
God had this for him.
Right.
But some people, it's because of what they have given themselves to, and it has enlarged within them and possessed them that they are doing these things. And I still believe God, because he loves everyone, not what they do, but he loves everyone, and that he has a time, you know, even if they, like you say, died and never, he says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So that's regardless of who you are, what you've done, how you've done, you know, and when it is, and where it is in his time, on the other side we're at.
Well, see, we have to be careful because in one portion of Scripture it actually says, you know, that where it talks about even for this cause, he rose Pharaoh up and all that stuff. And if you go and you read all that, and then he basically says, then if he basically said, I'm kind of paraphrasing this. He basically says there, then who has resisted his will? You know what I mean? If he rose Pharaoh up for that very cause. And it says right there in scriptures, it says, who art thou, O man, that you should question God? You know, you know, we don't know all of the ins and outs. And a lot of times we think that we should know everything, and God doesn't let us know everything. I mean, he lets us know what he wants us to know. And he basically said, how can he lay the charge if somebody hasn't resisted his will? You know what I mean? And basically it said, who are you to question God? I mean, you know, if he makes one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor, you know. But if it fulfilled his purposes and he worked all things after the counsel of his own will, is somewhere down the line, is that person going to be forgiven because they were put in that position to do that?
Yeah, because God hardened it. Pharaoh.
It says he did. It didn't say Pharaoh hardened his heart. So God hardened his heart. You're right.
Look at the people, these men nowadays, like Putin and
we don't know what that's
North
all
Korea,
about.
North Koreans, dictator and all.
And
those.
You don't know what's going on.
No.
And
people are scared. Because
God's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Right.
And you don't know.
Right.
And also in Psalm, I remember Brother Princing bringing it out. I'm talking about the wrath of man, even the wrath of man should praise God. And that's I don't know which psalm it is now, but I read it. But Brother Prensing had spoke, you know, on that. God has a purpose in all things. And that no matter what's happening, what we understand or don't understand, in the end, He's the one being glorified.
He's
going to,
it's all going to consummate in Him.
Yes.
And in the beginning, it was all Him.
It was, and it's going to find its completion in Him. Mm-hmm. Everything will, you know.
In Him we live, move, and have our being.
Right.
Yes.
And that means everybody.
And can you really fault people if they are walking in a mistaken identity and they don't realize they're in a mistaken identity? You know.
It's like they're blind.
Yeah.
I mean, so how are you going to speak to someone and they see clearly?
Yeah.
And you share anything with them or try to help when they're blind.
And as long as the scripture says, as long as the blind leads the blind, guess what?
Yes.
They're going to fall in the ditch. Mm-hmm. You know, basically they're going to get off the path. You know, but yeah, that's where we have to ask God really for a spirit of discernment and to open our eyes to spiritually see things. And my sermon is going to deal with that this morning. I'll be honest with you. We're talking right along the line where my sermon's going to go this morning.
It really puts you in a place of really prayer and humble before God,
right,
as to what to say to people you come in contact with and what's going on with them. Because I remember, I look even at my family and loved ones, and I remember the one Brother Princeton said, you look at them, think, oh my God, how much further are they going to go, what they're going to do? But God has already tied the knot at the end.
Right.
He knows how far
you're
going to go.
That's right.
That's going to take them to come to Him. But He's already tied the knot at the end that they're not, you know, lost. But we don't know how far and where this knot is and what it's, going to take.
Well, you know, in my family, you know, my sister, she gave her life to the Lord before she died. Mm-hmm. And she lived with my mother, and my mother was Christian all years. My brother, when he was up in the hospital, he gave his life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But all of them had made a commitment to the Lord when they were kids, but they just backed away from it, you know. And what the scripture said, He said, I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always to the end of the age. And He didn't say that you couldn't leave Him or that you couldn't pull away from Him, because you can. But, you know, He still doesn't leave you. You know what I mean? He's still there with you. And you know, my other sister, she died a couple months after my brother this year. Mm-hmm. And she was my youngest sister. And she had went forward as a kid, and when I was talking to her on the phone after she told me she had cancer, you know, I was telling her, I found out she had cancer. Man, it was a couple of weeks later she died right after that. But I've told her, I said, Sandra, I said, I remember you going forward as a kid. You know, I was the only one never to go forward as a kid. I didn't. I went to church with my mom a lot when I was real little, you know, and then when I got old enough where I started feeling conviction when I went to church, I quit going because I didn't like the way I felt when I was there, you know. But anyway, I told her, I said, I remember you going forward in the church. She come home and told my mom she went forward because she went to church with some little girl down the street or something. And, I told her, I said, that don't go away, you know what I mean, But I never did preach at any of them. I made sure I didn't preach at any of them, because you just turn them off when you do that, unless God's really inspiring you to do it. And if He inspired me to talk to them, I'd talk to them. But when He didn't, I left them alone. And that's what you were saying about, you know, I believe you were saying about how do we talk to people, or what do we do with them? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the best thing to say is nothing.
Well, the definition of that word place was kind of space, and it's like, rather give place unto wrath. Maybe that means don't go near it.
Right.
Because
that's
God said, I'll take care of it.
That's right. Yeah, that's a perfect example of that. Yeah, that's good.
Yes, that's
good. And you know, it you know, the wrath of man is not a good thing unless it involves God in it. You know what I mean? And, anyway.
And I think he gives way, or gives a little space to people who, like Kathy said, if they're hurting kids or something.
Yeah.
It's like, if it, 18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Sometimes it's not possible you want to wring somebody's neck.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't lie in you. You
That's
know
right. I
mean, or you don't feel like it does, you know. And like I said, we don't really know why people do the things they do, or what generated that in them or whatever. But someday we'll understand all this stuff. Mm-hmm. We don't right now. We just don't.
I know there was times I was really worried about my family, praying for my family. Right. You know, and God said, you are not their salvation.
There you go. Yeah. That's right.
He said, I am.
Right.
I said, yes, Lord. In other words, you know, you take your hands off, you leave it alone,
right,
unless he gives you something. And to say, if he doesn't,
right,
you don't say nothing, just continue praying.
That's right.
I'm looking at, you know, the kids that play this game on computers.
Uh-huh.
A lot of that stuff, like shooting in high schools and all that, to me, some of that stuff stems from that.
You're right. I believe that. I believe
and
that's
every
true.
Every time you turn around, there's always these games come out on TV.
Yes, and they think it's a game.
You know. I seen a thing one time. It was like one of those, wasn't 60 Minutes, but it was like one of the 2020s or something like
yeah.
that, you know, that kind of show. And they were talking about that when they were training people in the military, they used to have them shoot at just regular targets, you know, like regular round targets and
yeah.
all that stuff. And said, and then they sort of found out that when they got in a battle situation, they had a hard time pulling the trigger, you know, shooting. And they said they started using the silicone of a man, you know, the outline of a man. And they said, and they found out that by doing that, that they got geared that when they saw the outline of a man, it was okay to shoot, you know, and it helped them get them to the point where they would actually shoot somebody out in the battlefield, you know. They said, because, you know, if you're in a war and you hesitate, a lot of times you're dead. I mean, because somebody will shoot you, you know. But, you know, and that makes sense. And when you talk about these games,
yeah.
these kids are playing games where they don't, it ain't
night.
Only them shooting it, but they blow them up and blood
yeah,
and
day
it's
and night
gory and everything. Sure.
And you just push a button and they all come back.
I used to go to arcades when I was a kid. You know, you'd go in them restaurants and they'd have little arcade things, you know, where you could shoot rabbits and all that, you know, with the fake guns and all that. Well, you know, it was always rabbits or deers or targets. It wasn't people.
Yeah.
It wasn't people, you know. And, you know, I honestly believe, I think those things are terrible. I think, I mean, you know, for kids, because that just programs them that it's okay to shoot somebody. And they actually get excited about that. And if you're a little bit off, a half a bubble off, you know, you fall right into that.
You was talking about the targets. And, you know, like in the Army, they teach you how to adjust your guns and sights to hit that target. But then, you know, like you say, they come back with this shape of a man.
Yeah.
I don't, even then, I don't think I could pull a trigger.
Yeah.
That's what was like, defending her or myself.
Right.
But I would kill you. I'd just shoot your legs out.
Yeah. Well.
But a lot of them have had all that training and went, and they still, when they come home, I've had all kind of
Kill themselves, commit suicide.
Because they can't live with what they've done, even though they were trained.
Yeah.
Because they really, to me, they brainwash you.
Well, they program
really,
you to kill and shoot,
yeah.
but they don't unprogram you when you come home.
They don't have enough when they come home.
Nobody's trained to kill anybody. Nobody's trained to do that.
And
no.
then you already
right.
come back and you're trying
your
to live with this
right.
sad.
You know, that was something that my Uncle Wiley, you know, you guys all know my Uncle Wiley, you've heard him speak in different things.
He's crazy.
I went with Parker over to interview him one time because Parker was thinking about doing a thing for one of his classes using Uncle Wiley. And, you know, Uncle Wally's a simple man. I mean, he lives a very simple life and all that, you know,
a
very simple house and stuff, you know. But anyway, when he was talking to him, you know, he was telling us about, he was in World War II, you know, and he was a medic in World War II. And, you know, he told me some things I didn't know. Medics carried guns. I didn't know they carried guns, but they did carry guns. And he said that, he basically said, when I'd heard him say this before, but he said that the Germans sometimes would honor, like, the Red Cross. If you went out and got somebody brought them back, they didn't try to shoot you. He said, but the Japanese would shoot you, you know. He said they didn't want you help saving nobody or nothing like that. But anyway, he did say this. He said, you know, a lot of people came back from the war and they hated them people. He said, I never hated them. He said, I was doing what I was told to do. They were just doing what they were told to do. And he said, I didn't have no reason to hate them. You know, and I thought, that had to be the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Because some of the things he saw as being a medic, he saw people blown up, torn up, and all that stuff. And you know, he had to see some gruesome, awful things, you know. And one of my other uncles was in the military. He got his hand blew up, you know, and they actually took fingers and put them in different places so that he could use his right hand. I mean, he's got one of his fingers is over where his thumb would have been, and he's only got about three fingers on that hand, you know, but they moved him around, you know. They did learn a lot of things on how to fix people over there, because they had to do a lot of things that were just unbelievable. But he actually could use his right hand. He only had about three fingers there, but they were in the wrong place, you know. And you know, war is an ugly, horrible.
Yeah,
it's a horrible thing. I mean, it. You know, sometimes it can't be avoided, but it's just a horrible, terrible thing, you know. And but Uncle Wiley, him saying that about, he said, I never hated those people. He said because they were given orders to do certain things, and he said they had to follow those orders or be shot.
Yeah,
and he said, we had to follow our orders or we'd be shot, you know.
Court martial or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, you know, he said they were just doing what they had to do, you know. And I thought, well, gee, that had to be the Lord helping you think
God
that way.
God has made us to bless.
That's right.
You know, that we would love. We're beings that are to love and to bless. And that's why when we do things, it's not that.
We had a guy work for us, Roger, and he was in the Vietnam War, you know. And Roger, he hated the, you know, Vietnamese people, because he saw a lot of his friends get killed and stuff and all that. And I used to tell him, Roger, you know, you need to forgive them people, because as long as you hold that inside of you, and I've had talks with him many times, you know, over the years. And they let him go after a while, and he got a job somewhere else or something. And he'd come back and visit every once in a while, and he'd come over and talk to me one time, and he says, I just want to thank you for the way you used to talk to me. And he says, that really helped me a lot. And I was like, well, you know, I only talked to you when I felt like I was supposed to talk to you, you know, because, you know. But
there's a lot of Vietnamese people that didn't want war, just like here in Russia.
No.
There's a lot of them didn't want war, but what can you do when you got...
Well, the Russian people are being lied to. They don't know.
Yeah.
From what they're saying, they don't even know. They think that they're over there liberating the Ukrainian people, because they're controlling the media completely over there, from what they're saying.
Well, some people say they are liberating them because there's real Nazis over there in the Ukraine.
Yeah. Well,
then you see, like,
TV, they show... Well, we'll put it to you like this. Zelensky is a Jew.
Yeah.
He's a Jewish guy. Mm-hmm. The president.
Yeah.
He's Jewish, so I don't think that the Nazi movement has ever forgiven the Jews.
Yeah.
I think they're still against the Jews, but I don't know. I mean,
well, they're part of their army.
Yeah,
the Nazis are part of their army.
Well,
the Ukrainian
probably,
army.
Well, we've got Nazis in this country. You know, we've got.
They might not call themselves that.
they have the insignias and all that stuff. So. But, you know, a lot of them are the white supremacist people, a lot of them, you know, so. But anyway, you know, we got goofy people everywhere in the world, you know. But But anyway, it's one of the
God
situations.
God has a plan.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, thank
He's
God
in control
that,
of it
yeah.
all. And then we just have
it's
to trust
the
Lord.
It's all seeing eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know what's going on.
I just want to get to the plan.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. But it's his time, not mine.
Should we cover some of them ones before
sure.
we got to 19
yeah.
real
yeah.
quick?
Go ahead. Let's go back.
Okay, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given unto hospitality. You know, when you see somebody in need, we need to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Help them as you feel led to help them, you know. And sometimes God will make you help them to the point where it hurts a little bit. Because it's not really a whole lot of help unless it does hurt you a little bit once in a while. But, you know. We need to be a people that are giving people and forgiving people and show people love. It's like that saying, if you see somebody hungry and you say to them, go and be fed. Well, if you're not willing to help feed them, you know, what are you doing? Or if you see somebody that don't have a coat and they're freezing and you say, go and be warmed. Well, no, that's not really blessing them. Blessing them is giving them a coat or buying them a coat. And like I said a while back about Lily, that was one of the things that she did when she went to the jail with those little kids. She went out and bought all them little kids shoes, you know. Well, you know what? That's putting a little rubber on the road, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we got to put the rubber to the road in these things. You know. And if you go on down a little bit, it's rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we you know, Jesus was touched with the feeling of their infirmities.
Yes.
And I tell you what, the further I go with the Lord, the more I find I get emotional when people are hurting. I cry sometimes when I see somebody hurting. I'm funny. I can stand up there and talk. Clyde's the same way. You can stand up there and talk, and you cry.
Yeah.
But you know, I can about cut my hand off, and I won't cry. It don't hurt. I mean, I just get up and go on.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't that you're not being manly. It's just that you're in touch with what you're feeling and the emotions of people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's nothing wrong. When Jesus stood and wept over Jerusalem, I mean, he wept because of their unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been telling them all this stuff, and they didn't believe, you know. But going down a little farther, says, be one of a sane mind toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. You know, I like that. Be of the same mind, one toward another. And literally, if we do that, what are we doing? Are we maybe having the mind of Christ? He's talking about one mind. That's what he's talking about there, really, when you get down to it. One toward another. You know, when your brother hurts, you hurt. When they've got something wrong, you know, you feel it, and you're willing to pray for them or condescend to them. And, you know, if you run across somebody that you're talking to them about the Lord, you can't go and talk to somebody who doesn't know anything about the Lord and start talking to them about total reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. No.
Talk to them about the love of God, about the mercy of God. Condescend. You know, I, Brother Eddie, I love what he said. He said, sons of God are they that can ascend and condescend to men of all states.
Yes.
And you know, that's a true statement. You know, you have to be able to come down on their level and deal with them on their level. You know, and if you do that, a lot of times you can raise them up to a slightly higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And then each time that you deal with them, you can raise them up to a little higher level. But a lot of times if you start hitting somebody with some real deep revelations,
mm-hmm.
when they haven't even got basic understanding of the things of the Lord or the love of God, what you're going to do is you're going to drive them away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they won't listen to you anymore, you know.
Well, and another, there was something you said in the verse before that kind of grabbed me. I said to feel the feelings of their infirmity.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes those infirmities are not physical things, they're mental things, they're
sure.
emotional things,
sure.
and sometimes they are the very thing that caused those other people to act in a very, very terrible way. And it's not, I don't think it's always, or maybe never, I don't know, because it's any fault of theirs, or that it's because they're evil, or because they're unsavable. Mm-hmm. It's because that's their infirmity.
Right.
Everybody's brain is wired a lot differently. Right.
Well, you know, I'll say this. When I was a kid, I can remember when I had the epilepsy, you know, mm-hmm. when I started having seizures from 9 to 12. And the first seizure I ever had, I was sitting in church when I had it. Mm-hmm. Not out, you know, I was actually, had just come out of Sunday school and was sitting up in church. And I remember I was sucking on a red sucker that they gave me in Sunday school. And all of a sudden I had a seizure, you know. And, you know, back then, they didn't know as much about that. There wasn't a whole lot to, you know, I went to the hospital and they did an EEG, and at the hospital they said, well, we only know of one doctor around who treats this stuff, you know, that's really good with it and has some success. And that was Dr. Wagner, you know. Well, I went to Dr. Wagner, he put me in the hospital, and they ran all kind of tests and stuff, and it showed that I had epilepsy, you know. I mean, you know, the brain waves, if they do those electroencephalogram, you know, things, EEG tests, mm-hmm. and they showed that I had epilepsy. And anyway, I went through a lot of things, a lot of emotional things over that, because I had a seizure in school, and boy, I tell you, it wasn't good, you know. When I had a seizure in school, kids said stuff to me and stuff, and I got in fights, and I was just really, really screwed up. I mean, they were about ready to kick me out of grade school. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got that bad. And, you know, but this was when the healing ministries were going around and all that stuff, you know, Oral Roberts and all that, back in the tent meetings, and A.A. Allen and all that. And Mother took me to some of that stuff. I saw A.A. Allen, you know, when I was a little boy, and, you know, I saw him roll people in on, you know, stretchers and stuff, and I saw him walk out of there when they got prayed for, you know, and stuff. A lot of people got healed, and there was a lot of things went on, a lot of miraculous things. But that was the big thing back then. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and this was back in the early 50s, you know, back in the, you know, kind of early 50s. Well, you know, I can remember different times. I always kind of was a standoffish kind of kid. I had friends, but, you know, I liked to be by myself a lot. And I can remember going and climbing up a tree down the alley where we lived, back in the woods, and just sitting up there sometimes and just saying, basically just saying, why me? Why is this happening to me? You know, and my brother used to torment me and make fun of me when he would be aggravating brother. He was an older brother, and he'd get me worked up, and we'd fight. And he actually wouldn't fight me because he was almost 3 years older than me, but he'd just do it just to aggravate me, you know. So I had a lot of resentment toward my brother for a lot of years over that stuff, you know. And then about the time we got about 17, 18 years old, he wanted to be friends. All the time. I think the last time we got in a fight, I think I was 15 or 16. I was about 16. Mm-hmm. Well, he was always bigger, way bigger than me, you know. Well, he wasn't too much bigger than me then. I was thin, but I gave him a pretty good fight. Well, we never did fight again after that, because I think he thought, well, maybe I better back off a little bit here.
Yeah.
You know. But I mean, he hit me. He tried to roundhouse me. And I blocked his punch, and I had a blood bruise on my arm, and he knocked me from that room into the other room. And he could fight. I mean, he was always out there fighting with people and stuff. But the thing about it was, you know, I didn't know what all was going on with him. I think my mother was so protective toward me, worried about, you know, me having the seizures and stuff. She always kind of watched over me pretty close, you know. And, you know, and, but... You know, but God healed me of that, and he spoke that to Mother, and mm-hmm. you know, he healed me, and you know, I've told you all the story before, and mm-hmm. so I won't go into all that, but he healed me of that. But he actually had me walk out of that by faith. And Mother would always say to me, she'd say, son, don't get too entangled in the world. God's going to require things of you someday. And he did, you know, which And I didn't give my life to the Lord until I was 20-something years old, you know.
Already married?
Oh, yeah. I was, Margaret went to church before me, you know, she'd go to church sometimes, but, and she had some bad experiences at church, you know. She had a youth group leader one time when they was going somewhere in a car, try to put his hand between her legs, you know. So she had some bad experiences at going to church, you would say. You know, so you get, you know, you just don't know what in the world you're going to get exposed to, you know. And she actually told her sister that one time. Her sister, oh, well, that's, that you're probably just misinterpreting that. Well, later on, they found out that he was trying to molest on people, and they caught him, and he got kicked out of being in that church and stuff, you know, kind of thing. But you know, you just... experiences you go through them for a reason, and
you're able to help others.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Come and you're able to bless others, and they know that you truly understand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
well, depression and all that, I went through a lot of that. So when I see somebody depressed, I mean, I feel for them because mm-hmm. I know that's a dark, dark hole, and you don't like being there, and it's a terrible thing, you know, and you know. But anyway. I guess
hey, Dick, close us in a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you for this word today.
Jesus.
We pray that your spirit dwells within us in every situation, Lord,
yes,
to bring peace and love.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
I think we can go into chapter 13 and move right along next week.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord is all we do.
How many chapters are in this?
In Romans? 16, I think.
All right, we'll be out of there in no time.
16, yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, sorry I talked too much today, folks.
Well, it was good. It was good because we all learned. We're all learning and growing. And deceiving from one another.
We still have that in and out thing. You know, won't it be great when we shall go no more?